Hi everyone, it's Judy. Welcome back to the On Track Podcast. Today we have a great treat for you as we speak with Chris Calvi, who's the head of Octopart. As you know, sourcing components has never been more complex than it is today. Chris is going to help you navigate some of those waters as well as share the vision of Octopart in the future he sees, where sourcing components will be easy, accurate, and fully transparent. You're going to enjoy this conversation. See you on the other side. Welcome to Altium's On Track Podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media. Wait a minute. Before we get started, we've got some exciting news. Altium has some amazing limited-time spring specials that we just have to let you know about. Right now, you can save up to 45% when you upgrade to Altium Designer 19 or add additional licenses. The offer expires May 22nd, 2019, so don't wait. Check out the Altium website at altium.com today to learn more. And now, let's jump right into another great conversation on the On Track Podcast. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us on the On Track Podcast. I'm so excited to talk to you. You're on the other side of the country from me, and I know you have much insight and wisdom relative to components. So thanks so much for joining.
Thank you, Judy. I'm glad to be here. And I guess, does it make sense for me to start with a little of an introduction about who I am and what Octopart is?
Thank you for doing my job, Chris. Jump right in. Yes. Tell us about you and Octopart. Yeah, give us a little thumbnail sketch and then we'll dig in.
Great. Feel free to interrupt me at any point. I tend to
Yeah, I can see. By the way, did I say that Chris is the head of Octopart? So he's running things, so maybe that's why you want to run this podcast.
I'll leave that to you. But yeah, again, thank you. And I went to Georgia Tech, and after graduation, I moved out to Los Angeles, where I started working at Shopzilla, which is a consumer product search engine. And so for the last 13 years of my career, I've been in vertical search engines, both in business development capacities and recently in general management. And now I've been at Octopart in New York for the last 8 years. I was fortunate to be the second employee there.
Oh, neat.
And I've served as the general manager, as you mentioned, for the last 3 years. Octopart was acquired by Altium in 2015, and about a year after that is when I moved into this role.
Okay, and, cool.
Now the story of Octopart is much more interesting.
Okay.
and it was started in 2007 by three physicists who were in grad school. Sam Wurzel, Andre More, and Harish Agarwal. And they were working on projects, as physicists do, involving electronics and electronic parts. Andre, for instance, was in Antarctica working on a project studying neutrinos, and he needed parts that could handle those extreme conditions. Oh. And so he was having this problem. Sam was having problems where he'd get like a list of parts and he couldn't find them anywhere, and he was going through these thick catalogs.
And things used to be printed.
Yeah, I mean they had websites then too, but like it was definitely still still a catalog based, you know,
right,
a lot of stuff. And so they were saying, hey, we should start a search engine for this stuff and help solve people's problems around parts.
Mm-hmm.
And around the same time, they were also being inspired. They were reading these essays by Paul Graham, who is the founder of the famous Silicon Valley startup accelerator, Y Combinator.
Oh, yeah.
And so they were reading these essays like How to Start a Startup. And so they're simultaneously faced with this problem about electronic parts and this urge to do something about it. Mm-hmm. So they ended up entering the Y Combinator program in the winter of 2007 and dropped out of grad school, made like the pretty, you know, pretty bold decision to do that. Mm-hmm. First few years were lean for them. But then, well, traffic started to pick up organically, and they were able to secure a few deals with component distributors. And so if you fast forward to today, we've got between 800,000 and 900,000 users on Octopart every single month. And
that's
we work
crazy.
With
crazy. That is such a big number.
It's awesome to be able to work on something that is touching people in some small way, a lot of people, and, mm-hmm. and fully helping them with some of the problems that they're having. And we work with, like, one of the questions, common questions we get is about well, how does Octopart make money and why is it free? And so we also work with over 200 distributors. And that's how they pay to participate on Octopart, and so it's free for users and engineers to just go right to the website and get started in finding parts, checking availability from all of these distributors, mm-hmm. validating decisions mm-hmm. is a big use case of Octopart. Finding CAD models, the symbols, footprints, 3D, exploring the technical details of the component. And so, as you can imagine, we're sort of shoulder deep in the problems that the folks
only are shoulder deep. Are you sure?
Yeah, maybe like chin deep.
Yeah, I think I can see your eyes from here. So, you guys are tackling a lot of problems simultaneously, but let's just talk about a handful of the prevailing problems around components. The one that comes to my mind is sort of in my face right now, as I talk to so many designers, is part shortages.
Mm-hmm.
That is problematic. Something that's available today isn't available tomorrow. It's just crazy. So let's just talk through a handful of those problems. So what are the prevailing problems you're seeing that designers and engineers are having relative to components, finding and sourcing components right now?
Yeah, I mean, you pointed out a huge one. You couldn't go anywhere without somebody talking about ceramic capacitors and where they could try to find MLCCs. And so that's a huge, huge issue people are facing, which is one big use case. I mean, we saw a lot of people on Octopart last year trying to source these sorts of components, and one of the things we worked on to help with this sort of problem is a similar parts feature. So that if you're looking at a component and you see, okay, I can't find this at any mm-hmm. any distributors, maybe I could consider some other parts from different manufacturers, or maybe even the same component manufacturer that have the same sort of key technical attributes.
Right.
And so this is called, we call that similar parts, and mm-hmm. We have that on Octopart now, you know, on the part detail page beneath the information. But the other common sort of problem, I mean, really the spectrum of problems in parts is pretty big. The other, you know, there's also the mundane, like, everyday problem of component selection, which is just, will a part meet my needs technically?
Right.
And so we try to help with that by creating a smarter search that'll understand kind of what you're looking for. And so whether you type in 100 MV or 0.1 volt, Octopart's going to understand that this is the same thing, and mm-hmm. We're going to try to find the parts that are going to then match that need. And so so that's like a very common problem. And then along, like, a very tangential problem to that mm-hmm. is availability of the component, which is also related to part shortages.
Right.
Which is, can I buy this part?
Right.
Is it?
And how long can I buy this part?
How long can I buy it? How many are on the shelf?
Right.
is it on my approved vendors list? Because, you know, companies have these restrictions on who they can buy from, rightfully so. Mm-hmm. And are there, and as I mentioned earlier with similar parts, are there other sort of other parts that could be used in a backup case or backup distributors for that matter?
Mm-hmm. That's got to be a huge help. Like, are you getting feedback right from your users on this? I know you guys are just back there like kind of being, you're Googleizing Octopart and you know, in some ways. What kind of feedback are you getting?
Yeah, we get feedback all the time. You know, people will say things like, if the part's not an Octopart, it doesn't exist.
Oh, that's
things
nice.
Like that we're saving them a lot of time. Some people say, I use it every single day. It saves me a lot of time. One piece of feedback that we get a lot that one thing that we're starting to turn our focus to are these signals of risk and particularly life cycle status. To your point, is this part nearing its end of life? Is it good for design?
Is there signals to the end of life, like before a manufacturer actually says, no, we're phasing this out? Are there, what
That's
are signals?
The ideal case for that would be that you'd defer to the manufacturer. They're going to tell you, hey, this part's not recommended for new design, or it is. They'll say it is recommended for new design. But you'll also want to check things like, is this available from a number of distributors?
I see.
You know, is it on the shelf? These sorts of things are important. But people are, life cycle information is a common thing on the forefront of people's minds today when it comes to some of the problems with parts. You know, the other things where I was mentioned earlier when I was talking about the founders, there's these poorly transcribed part numbers where you get something, you're not even quite sure what it is. Basically like a typo, you know, or there's we've seen cases. I was at the Electronica conference in Munich. I was talking to a design engineer. Mm-hmm. Who was saying that he sent his design over to the contract manufacturer, and the CM said, we can't find any sources of this component. You're going to have to do a redesign. And so he went on to Octopart, found that I think Avnet had like 120,000 units of the part, and was able to just send it back and say, please just order these parts.
You know, okay, so I have to tell you my own little personal war story. I get that because for a little while I worked for a CM on the East Coast. I sold in the West Coast of North America. But again, critical job. It was like military drones. It was a... You know, and this job would have been a big deal for the company and for me. And that happened. They sent over the bomb. And then again, bombs. Like, I imagine Octopart also helps design engineers put together a clean bomb, because the bombs that would come to me, like to quote, were a hot mess. But say this part, like you said, with this engineer at Electronica. So I'm doing this critical quote, right, to win the business for the first time, and there was a show-stopping part like that.
Yes.
And because I'm stubborn, I literally hung up the phone from the project manager who said, this part is whatever, end of life, or we can't get it, or whatever. And I like Googled, I don't know, I found some guy in some dark office in Avnet, found the part, and then said, you two need to know each other. Right, because I was desperate, but what a time suck that was, right?
Right.
So
yeah, and I think that actually leads into another problem, right? Which is this world of end of life is a real issue, and so when you're doing new design, it's easy to say I'm going to stick to only parts that are going to be available for the next few years, but in certain cases of like, particularly in the repair side or in like aerospace applications, these products have very long life cycles.
Well, and to your point, the application I'm talking about is naval drones, right? So these applications do have very long
Yeah, so that drone will still be in operation in 5 or 10 years, but the parts inside of it may not be on the shelf anymore. And so in those cases, another part problem becomes becomes like counterfeit issues and buying from the authorized channel versus the non-authorized channel. In general, we're going to recommend if you can get a part from the authorized channel, that's definitely where you should buy the part.
So talk about that for a minute. What do you mean by authorized channel? I mean, what do you mean? Talk about that, because counterfeit medication these days, again, because I work for a Mil Aero CM, was a huge deal. They were uncapping things, right? To find whatever watermarks, whatever they do. Like, again, a big problem. So what does that mean, an authorized versus a non-authorized source?
Right. So the authorized distributors are going to have a direct relationship with the component manufacturer.
Okay.
So the manufacturer of those parts are basically have formal relationships with certain distributors that they're going to say, you're allowed to sell our part and we're going to have this formal relationship. And then those are going to be like
the big companies. These are our authorized distributors, right? So
yes. So if you go to a component manufacturer's website, or if you go to like a trade organization like the ECIA, the Electronics Components Industry Association, they're going to have this information available, which is where Octopart ultimately gets, we're going to get that sort of information on who's authorized for what parts. And we display that information on Octopart. And so at the top, if you're looking at a part, at the top results on Octopart, we're always going to display that authorized channel first. And so, because again, you're going to have much reduced risk from buying from them. But again, you know, that drone you were talking about, in 5 years, there's going to be a need for maybe some repair, and they're going to have to find a part, and that part's not available anymore via an authorized channel. So in which case, you'll have to go to this non-authorized channel for the component, very likely. And when you do that, it's, you just have to understand that you're taking this additional risk, and you're going to want to do that extra step, go the extra mile in testing and verifying the, not just the distributor you're procuring the part from, but then actually the parts themselves, like you said, your company was doing.
Yeah, they had a source close by, and like I said, they were uncapping them, you know, lots, right? They would not do, obviously, destroy them all, but they would test the lots, right, to make sure they were reliable parts. But that is another layer of risk. You wrote something, mentioned something to me, which was compliance documentation and government regulations. Can you talk about that for a moment?
Yes. So there's all sorts of restrictions on what chemicals can be used in electronics, and it varies by country. There's the RoHS restriction on hazardous substance requirements. There's REACH in Europe and in China. There's the conflict minerals reporting that you have to do, so you don't want to be procuring some of these metals and other material used in the manufacturing of components from sources that are you know, strife with conflict and that are run by warlords and things of this matter. So
in Congo, these are all, or whatever. Yeah,
these
crazy.
Are all problems, and I'm not trying to say that Octopart is solving all of these problems today.
What, but you're not?
aspirationally, these are all within the problem set of the world that we live in, and that we are, you know, in a way over time. These are all things that are relevant in when people are selecting parts and when people are picking up information in parts. And so we definitely hear these concerns from people out there all the time.
So along that line, what is your sort of overarching vision and strategy for Octopart? What is it that you really want to accomplish, sort of on a strategic, visionary level for people that are using the Octopart site?
Yeah, there's actually like two things on that. There's on the one hand, I like to think of Octopart, and I make this comparison to Google in 1999, 2000, 2001, when you may have been using some inferior search engine and having an experience that was okay. But then you discovered Google, and so maybe somebody told you about it, and you started using it, and it was such a better experience, so much better. You said, I'm never going back to the old way. Mm. And secondly, you said, I'm going to tell all of my friends about this because it is so much better. It's not just incrementally better. And in that regard, that's really what we would love to see happening with Octopart and where we're trying to take things. That, mm-hmm. that when you're looking to try to find a part or for information on a part, that you're going to Octopart it. That's right. You can coin that term. And that's going to be the solution that you turn to. Mm-hmm. On the other end of the spectrum is this other analogy that I'll make to like a Wikipedia. And I don't mean that necessarily in the way that Wikipedia is that you can that's editable by anyone. I mean, I'm not saying it's not, but I'm not saying that that's necessarily what I mean. What I really mean is the spirit of Wikipedia, in such that when you need to look up a person, a place, or a thing, mm-hmm. you're going to Wikipedia because you know they're going to generally have very comprehensive information on that. Now, I think maybe I get in trouble with some librarians there by saying that, but that's sort of a method that gets embedded in, I think, our consciousness. And then we want to sort of be that place when it comes to any relevant data on the electronic parts. And so we were talking about a whole slew of these problems earlier. Mm-hmm. And aspirationally, again, when you want to know, I have this part number now, I know this part, but I need to know more about it. I need to know the details about this. I want to go to Octopart. And that's mm-hmm. those are the two, I think, really important things about where we're going. And I want to just make a note that I think having transparent structured data about parts is so important to all of this and to sort of the future of electronic design and manufacturing for that matter. And so whether we're talking about the Altium vision, for instance, of bringing continuity from design, digital continuity from design to manufacturing, mm-hmm. sort of need structured part data there. Mm-hmm. But also, if we even think about these other applications of like machine learning and automated part selection, mm-hmm. this stuff really will be challenging for this stuff. It needs to be in the future, right? The future will be better if those applications exist. And for those applications to exist, there should be some foundational, really good, transparent, structured part data. And so,
well, when you say transparent,
yes,
define that for me.
Yeah, that's a great where it came from, when it was last updated, what that data means. All of that is transparent, right? Like you can see that a part has a data sheet. You can see that it has prices. You can see that it has a description and attributes and values for those attributes for every technical aspect of the component. But do you know where that data came from? Even on Octopart, you want to know where that data came from, and you want to know when it was last updated. Mm-hmm. That's where when I'm talking about transparency, it's almost like this information really in the future state of the world needs to be accessible.
What's in the way of that right now? What are a couple of the obstacles?
Well,
that
so Octopart actually is working on some of these things, and so these are problems that we recognize. But I think the bigger problem is that a lot of this data is unstructured today. And so you have data sheets, for instance, which are in PDF format. There's no standard for that. If you really want to get at least the technical information on the component, you're going to have to pull up a PDF data sheet, and you're going to actually have to read that in many cases. And so mm-hmm. that's like a big hurdle to this problem.
Not for the faint of heart, it sounds like. It's just a gigantic, I mean, how many components are there in the world? This is just so much data, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
it's kind of staggering.
Hundreds of millions at all time, right? All time component mass.
Hundreds of millions. It's crazy. Yeah. I don't know. You're good for you, Chris. That's all I have to say. So let's move into talking about CAD tools, and you talked to me a little bit about API. Can you tell us what API programming is and the impact to design engineers?
Yeah, so that's API stands for Application Programming Interface, but that's not particularly important. The Octopart API, the idea of it is that you can programmatically tap into the power of Octopart inside of whatever tool you're using, whether that be an internal tool within your organization, or it be something like Altium Designer, or a BOM tool, or another website. Really, what the spirit of the Octopart API is, as I mentioned, trying to connect the power of Octopart to engineers and designers and purchasers, wherever they may be. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have to necessarily come to the Octopart.com website to have that experience.
Right.
It's way more beneficial for them if this is sort of baked into the solutions that they're already using every day.
So it's an embed. It's something embedded to where it gives you access in whatever environment you're working in.
Yeah, and so you know, software developer would basically create that interface into Octopart, and then it could have the same look and feel that you would expect within the application you're using, and so it's a little deeper, but yes.
Okay. All right. So you mentioned early in the podcast that Altium bought Octopart some time ago, and even though that's true, you guys, I'm going to tell you as a, you know, an employee that worked at the headquarters of Altium, you're very much part of our culture, but you operate very autonomously and you're available in a lot of places. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes.
How we're connected, and then you also get to be sort of neutral all at the same time.
Yeah. So I mean, like the quick way that we're connected, you could see. I mentioned we're in Altium Designer with some of the parts search capabilities within there. We serve as the parts enterprise unit for the company, and as Altium works towards bridging this design and manufacturing divide and trying to bring digital continuity there, Octopart aims to bridge that gap as this structured data piece. But then taking a step beyond that, as you mentioned, we consider Octopart to be for everyone. And that means not just for Altium Designer users. We want this to be a feat. We want Octopart to be something that can help folks in not only different job descriptions. We want it to be able to help students, makers, professional engineers, sourcers and procurement folks, CAD librarians. We want to be able to help all of them with whatever that they may be using. So we have CAD models in Octopart, so the symbols and the footprints and the 3D models, and we make them available in Altium Designer and Upverter format. But we also make them available in Eagle format. The schematic symbols are available in Cadence formats, and we're looking to add more to expand beyond that in terms of format coverage. So we very much want to keep a user focus on Octopart and understand that while there's some overlap with the users of Altium Designer, that it's just that, some overlap, and that we want to serve really everyone that we can within the electronics industry.
Which I really love. You know, I love sort of the spirit of Altium, and that matches Octopart, which is why I'm sure, you know, that played a part culturally in the fit. Is, you know, Altium has said since its inception, like, we want to give tools to anyone who needs them, right? And I think you're sort of saying the same thing about Octopart. Like, everybody needs them, whether it's a kid in high school or, you know, somebody designing an F-35. You know, it's in everything in between. So, you know, I kind of love that, you know, we didn't just gobble you up and keep you to ourselves. That, you know, which could happen in corporate America, you know, and I really love this kind of generosity of spirit that keeps it open-handed, and Altium will do fine and continue to sell Altium Designer licenses. And I know, you know, I'm sure Altium saw this as a great fit, because we want our users to be able to grab things from inside their tool and not have to leave the tool, go get something, and port it in. We're trying to make things easy and accessible. So I'm really glad to be able to give that to our design community through Octoparts. So love that Octoparts for everyone. So, man, we covered a lot of territory, and I am going to for sure, Chris, please, you're going to have to, of course, we'll share the Octopart website, but if you have any slide decks, I know you guys have a great blog, and I try to share them every month, and at least one of your blogs in our newsletter, but please share with me any links or anything you can for the design community, and we will put it in the show notes so people can get more information, because these are deep waters.
I certainly will. And thank you so much for this opportunity to chat with you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much for making the time. I'm sure there is no grass grown under your feet, my friend. Like I said, I think you're up to your eyeballs. So, well, thanks again for joining us, Chris, and thank you to our listeners for joining us today. We're delighted you chose to join us on the On Track podcast. Please remember to like, subscribe, and comment. Tell us what you want to learn about. We're eager to deliver what's pressing for you as you design boards and electronic products every day. So thanks for joining. We'll see you next time. Until then, remember to always stay on track.